National Broadcasting Company present, transcribed, Sir Ralph Richardson in Theatre Royal.
This is Ralph Richardson. Our play today is written by a very old friend of mine from the theatre, with whom I've been associated on a number of occasions, J.B. Priestley. Unlike many of our subjects, this was originally written for the stage and not as a short story. Mr. Priestley describes it as a one-act comedy in the Viennese style. Now, I myself will play the part of Max Talley. Here, then, is J.B. Priestley's comedy, Private Rooms. This is Max talking to you, my friends. Old Max Talley. Perhaps you will remember the name. I would permit myself to be surprised if you did not. In Vienna, Imperial Vienna, in a world that is now only a nostalgic vision, but of which we shall ever carry the remembrance of the music of Johann Strauss in perpetual waltz time, and the waters of the Danube shine in perennial blue, there in that Vienna, I had my career in the theater, and in which career I was almost invariably successful. That, you must admit. In romantic Vienna, I also had my share of romance, in which I was not quite invariably successful. That, I must admit. Now I am still vain enough to think that you will remember sufficient of my success for me to be able to tell you of one adventure which was perhaps more singular than successful. One night, I was taking supper with a beautiful young ballet dancer. In fact, the supper had been eaten, the champagne poured, and there we are, alone, in a private supper room of a celebrated Viennese restaurant. Yes? Come in.
Is there anything more you'll be requiring, sir?
A little more champagne, my dear.
No, thank you.
No, nothing.
Thank you, sir. The supper was satisfactory?
Yes, on the whole.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Ah, but you can tell your maître d'hôtel that I still think the steak Chateaubriand is better at the Bristol. Oh, yes, there is something, however, we'll go into that another time. No, nothing more now.
Thank you, sir. Then you won't be disturbed again, sir.
Aha. Uh-huh. You can imagine the scene. The discreet lighting in the plush-filled rooms, the overpowering air of intimacy, the inevitable settee. Oddly enough, the room next door is virtually the same, apart from its occupants.
Yes? Come in.
Is there anything you'll be requiring, madam?
No, I don't think there's anything else we want. You can leave us now.
Thank you, madam. And supper was satisfactory?
Most of it, yes, yes. But I didn't ask for orange salad with the duck. You really ought to know by this time that I prefer prunes. Please remember next time.
Thank you, madam. You won't be disturbed again, madam.
Thank you. Don't you agree about the duck?
If you say so, yes. But I hardly knew what I was eating.
Oh, that's absurd. Now, why should I take the trouble to order a delicious supper for you if you don't appreciate it, ungrateful boy? Aren't you ashamed of yourself?
No, dear Julia, I'm not. A poet doesn't think of the menu when he's supping with a goddess.
You're very sweet.
Once again, the discreet lighting, the intimacy, and the settee. Only there, The initiative seems to be coming from the woman, a very well-known Viennese actress, as it happens. But back to my own affairs. Aha, my own affairs.
I can still hardly believe it.
Believe what, my dear child?
Well, I'm actually sitting here with you. You! And this is a private room in our most famous restaurant, which all the girls are dying to visit. But I've had such a wonderful supper, alone with you. You can't imagine it. It's like a dream.
The restaurant, the supper, or the man?
I suppose, in a way, I can't separate them.
Yes, I wish you could. After all, any fool with a little money could bring you here and give you supper.
Oh, no, that wouldn't be the same at all. It's being here with you.
Well, that's what I'd hoped, my dear.
You see, I think it's through you that I fell in love with the theatre. The first time I was ever allowed to go, for my parents were very strict, was to see you. We lived in Brintz, you know. You must remember coming to Brintz.
Oh, yes, Brintz. Very, very fine market hall there, isn't there?
Oh, no, there's nothing special about the market hall. It's the cathedral, which has a very, very tall spire. It's famous. Oh, you must remember.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. So stupid of me. Yes, of course, Prince. So you first saw me there, did you? What was I playing? The Mad Emperor?
Yes. Yes, the poor Mad Emperor. Oh, of course, it was ages ago.
Ages ago, but it couldn't have been, my dear. I went out on that tour playing the Emperor in all sorts of dreadful places. It was only 6 or 7 years ago.
It seems ages ago. I was at school.
Uh-huh. Of course. Oh, of course. Ages ago.
Oh, my dear Dorian, your work. Oh, yes, it's good. Your last play has some distinct possibilities, but it is you yourself who interest me, just as I hope it's I, Julia, and not merely myself as the leading lady of the comedy theatre who interest you.
Well, of course. Well, I don't really see the difference, especially in your case.
Dear boy, that's absurd. I'm a woman, not merely a performer.
Yes, but on the stage you show us your charm, your wit, your intelligence, your depth of feeling, your beauty. They're all there for us to admire, to worship.
Well, so is the scenery. But I have a private life. I have a heart. What happens in the theatre is important, of course. But what happens outside the theatre is still more important. I may feel lonely, sad. I may need a devoted friend. So I say, let us talk about each other, not about our work. Dear Florian.
But why did you say that my last play has some distinct possibilities?
Oh, play. Now, let me tell you something. This morning, I read a play. At lunch, I discussed a play with my agent. This afternoon, I rehearsed a play. This evening, you may remember, I acted a play. And now, after supper, you're surprised because I don't want to talk about yet another play.
But I thought that was why you invited me.
No, it wasn't.
Oh?
No. I talk business during the day. Not in private rooms at night.
I see.
Oh, no, stop pulling that face. Perhaps I invited you here because your eyelashes curl and your nose is so intriguing and absurd. But what does it matter? Here you are, in a discreet private room with Julia herself. And all you do is to pull a long face because I won't tell you what's wrong with your second act.
Oh, no, I assure you, I realize the honor you're doing me.
Now, come. Show you forgive my stupid teasing. Kiss me.
Huh?
You're shy, aren't you, Florian?
Well,
now you must tell me all about yourself so that you won't feel shy anymore. Yes, tell me where you were born, where you went to school, everything. Come along.
Well, I was born and grew up in a very dull little provincial town called Brintz.
Oh, I know Brintz.
Do you?
Yes, I played in that drafty old theatre there and nearly got pneumonia. And when was I there last now? Oh, it must have been years ago. So I think we were playing The Lady from the Sea.
now, my dear. A question not of technique, as it is when you're young and uncertain, but of mood. Not the mood of the moment, something that a kiss or a drink might cure, but the longer, deeper mood that reflect what is happening in the dark recesses of one's personality.
Oh, how wonderfully you talk. I think I could listen to you forever.
Yes, I do those speeches very well, of course. Long trading experience must count for something. But you know, the thoughts, even the actual words, they're not mine. Most of that speech about the dark feelings came from some play or other. I forget which one. I owe it to some wretched author. Some detestable fellow with a bad haircut, round shoulders and spectacles.
Oh, but many authors, poets, are young and handsome.
I doubt it. Aha, but then perhaps you know one.
No, not at all. I was thinking of Lord Byron.
Oh, well, then I'll forgive you. But you should be thinking about me, here at your side.
Oh, but I am. You say so many wonderful things.
Oh, my dear. You're so young, so fresh, so innocent, so beautiful, that when I listen to you, I want to take you in my arms.
No, you mustn't.
Go on, say it. Max.
Max.
What, do you find it so difficult to pronounce? Is it a name you dislike?
I suppose it seems strange because you're so much... I mean, because I have so much respect for you.
Respect?
It must be late. I think I ought to be going now.
No, that'll never do. You know, you told me this morning that it didn't matter how late you returned to your lodgings, that you often sat up long after supper with the other girls. Now you say you must go because it might be late. Seems to me that you want to go because I've offended you. What you really want me to do is to keep away from you, talk, but don't touch. Very well, then. As you wish. Mm-hmm. Well, now I seem to see tears in your eyes.
It's because I feel you've changed. You don't really like me now.
Oh, nonsense, of course I do. Aren't I trying to please you? You must make up your mind, my dear. If I like you too much, you want to go home. If you feel I don't like you enough, your eyes fill with tears. You must admit, you make it very difficult for a man.
You haven't lived. How can you write if you haven't lived? Tell me that. Don't just sit there looking sulky.
I'm sorry, but...
You know very well what I mean when I say you haven't lived. A little provincial town, miles from anywhere, dreary little affairs with chambermaids and governesses.
I've never had an affair with either a chambermaid or a governess.
Oh, very well, then. You think you're in love with some bouncing provincial music teacher or a soulful milliner's apprentice.
Wrong again, dear Julia, quite wrong.
So... I am your dear Julia, am I?
Do you object?
Of course not. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Now, I'm very fond of you. Surely you realize that. Mm. But when I say that you haven't lived, I mean you haven't known the heights and depths of love, all the subtleties and ecstasies of a wonderful personal relationship with a woman who is both an artist and a figure in the great world, the world you could know through her.
But surely... Now, take my last
play. Oh, my dear, well, we're taking your last play all night. Now, let's talk about something more amusing.
In a moment, we continue Theatre Royal, starring Sir Ralph Richardson.
Your Thursday evening lineup here on NBC includes two of your favorite Western programs. There's The Roy Rogers Show, featuring the King of the Cowboys in an exciting story, followed by Six Shooter, the program that stars Jimmy Stewart in Tales of the Frontier, where the only law was that of the Six Shooter. Then there's more adventure in a different setting, with Jason and the Golden Fleece, bringing you a dramatic story from the New Orleans waterfront. On the lighter side tomorrow evening, hear the Eddie Cantor Show as Eddie reminisces about show business and presents songs both old and new. And last but not least in your Thursday evening lineup, there's a visit to 79 Wistful Vista to meet Fibber McGee and Molly. Adventure, music, laughs, They're all yours tomorrow evening and every Thursday right here on NBC.
We now continue Theatre Royal, starring Sir Ralph Richardson.
Ah, those passionate romantic evenings in old Vienna. The understanding, the intimacies, the full communion of passionate soul with soul. The glances that meant so much, the touch of a hand that denied so little. The ardors that would not be restrained, the sympathies and the sweet surrenders. Well, in fact, I wasn't doing very well myself.
Be angry. I think I can explain.
Very well, then. Explain.
It's perfectly true. I like you. I like you very much. And I've admired you, everything you've done, for years and years.
But it stopped 10 minutes ago.
There's something in me that doesn't care how much I admire you, how grateful I am, how proud I am that I'm here with you, but it simply won't let me touch you. I can't help it. I'm sorry. I tried to show you so that you wouldn't try and be angry.
Yes.
You see,
yes.
You don't really care for me at all now. You don't love me.
Have I ever suggested that I did?
No, otherwise it would have been harder still.
It would be like playing poker with marked cards. Even lecherous old rogues who lure high-minded young girls into private rooms may have their codes of honor.
Don't talk about yourself like that. It hurts me as well as you. Not only what you say, but the way you're saying it.
Have I got to put up with a lecture now from one of the youngest members of the ballet?
Oh, please stop it. It's horrible, horrible. You've spoiled everything. And I thought it would be so wonderful being here with you.
Accept my apologies for the horror of the situation. Although a great many women, some of them quite young too, would disagree with your verdict. Well,
I can't believe that. It's nothing to do with me. Don't you see? If it were just a man, any man behaving stupidly, it wouldn't matter. I'd hit him and run away. It's because it's you. Now you're angry and feeling hurt. And yet I can't help it.
Don't you be too sure that you can't help it. I asked you to have supper with me in a private room of a restaurant. You must have known what that meant. That if I felt like it, I'd make love to you. It appears that that is distasteful to you. At close quarters, apparently, I am repulsive.
Oh, no, please, you mustn't see it like that.
Believe me, my dear girl, no man would choose to see it like that if he could find any other explanation. But quite frankly, you don't excite my sympathy. You seem to me to be something of a young hypocrite. I don't see why I shouldn't please myself, as you've been pleasing yourself up to now, taking all and giving nothing. Now, it seems to me that it's my turn. You've had your supper, and now you must sing for it.
Neither Mullerton, of course. You have no humor.
Oh?
But it goes with lack of warmth, of life.
Quite wrong. It goes with a lack of shallowness, of cynicism. I don't pretend to have any humor. I don't need it. I don't like it.
Well, you may not like it, but you certainly need it, my dear boy. A lighter touch would make all the difference.
Oh, that light touch. For years now, we've had nothing but that light touch. The boudoir style, the millinery manner.
It has its weaknesses, certainly, but it is better than that undergraduate earnestness, the ferocity of the provincial debating societies.
An hour ago, you were agreeing with me. I don't understand
you. I'm delighted to hear it. Unfortunately, I understand you only too well. Yours is the more interesting situation. Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm not usually so sleepy at this hour.
I'm sorry if I bored you.
Oh, come. I never said that. Once or twice, I thought you were quite amusing.
Wait a minute. Did you hear that?
Yes, from the next room. No, there's no need to interfere.
Yes, there is. It sounded like a young girl.
No, come back. Don't make a fool of yourself. You foolish boy.
Oh, no. No, please.
What's
no.
happening? What's happening in here? Can I help?
What the devil?
You.
Ah, very nicely timed. But I imagine well rehearsed, too.
Certainly not, sir. I was in the next room here. I heard this young lady scream, and I thought for help, so I...
So you came to her rescue? Yes, you staged a fine little recognition scene. I've played dozens of them. You. Ah. So are you sure you weren't hanging about the corridor out there, waiting for the agreed signal?
I was doing nothing of the sort. I was having supper with the lady in the next room.
That's quite true. He was having supper with me. Max!
Julia!
Oh, Max, you incorrigible old rascal.
Julia, behave yourself.
Are introductions necessary, or are you two people already acquainted?
Well, yes, that is...
We both grew up in the same town, Brintz.
What? Are we back there again, Brintz?
We needn't be, Max. Florian, take her into the next room and talk to her about Brintz.
Huh?
You don't mind, Max?
Well, my dear girl, it means that you're going to keep me company for half an hour.
It does. Now, off you go. All right, dear, aren't you?
Yes, thank you. I should like to talk to Florian.
This way, then.
Julia, my dear, this is a delightful surprise.
Mm.
Have a little brandy.
Thank you, Max. Just to keep you company.
By the way, that little scene here, though not to anybody's credit, was not quite as ugly as that scream might have suggested. No. The girl was in no real danger, I can give you my word.
Oh, I imagine that.
What?
But really, Max, at your age...
Yes, yes, my dear, it's humiliating, of course. Deeply humiliating. The nonsense one has to talk to and listen to. The glaring falsity of the whole thing.
Yes, I can imagine that, too. But why should you think for a moment that it's worth it?
Well, now and again, not often, mind. The temptation's irresistible. I saw her this morning at a ballet rehearsal. We're borrowing some girls for our next production. And she looked at me so wide-eyed, so overcome. She's an admirer of mine, or was.
Oh, no, Max, darling. Probably still is. We all are.
Oh, thank you,
Even
Julia.
Even I am.
Thank you, Julia, my dear.
Within reason.
Uh-huh. Ah, it's cozy, this, isn't it? Like old times.
But I still don't understand why you should think it's worth it, Max. Well, even if you succeeded, what would it be? An awkward, inexperienced girl.
I know. There are some things you women, with your terrible realism, don't appreciate. You imagine it's a pretty girl's face that's the attraction, but it isn't. It's the lost world of youth. Life in bloom again. The trouble is, my dear, we fellows who live in our imaginations are greedy. We demand all over again the cake we ate years ago. We want to taste in age, when at last we can appreciate them properly, the confections we gobbled so eagerly in our youth. We refuse to be the slaves of time, which takes its revenge by making us look fools and satyrs. My dear, can you understand that?
I think so, Max. Yes, we have to fight and conquer time in our work. And yet the people who applaud us just for doing that would be the first to blame us for, just what you were up to.
Well, exactly. I've always said you were a girl with a good mind.
Girl? Oh, thank you, Max. I'm only about 15 years younger than you, after all.
15? I thought it was 10.
15.
Ah, well, 15, 10, whatever age you are now. You always seem a girl to me, Julia.
Which makes you a very comforting person to be with, Max, darling.
Ah. By the way, were you giving that young man supper next door, like he said?
Oh, yes. He's a poet. He's trying to write something for me. And this was the only time I could find to discuss his work with him.
In a private room?
In a private room. Why not?
Oh, why not? Is his work any good?
Vaguely promising. Not much warmth to it, I'm afraid. Not much life yet. And it certainly lacks humor. But as a matter of fact, I was just telling him as much when you interrupted me.
Ah, quite. Well, perhaps this encounter may help him a bit.
It might. I can't really think it will, of course. I wonder what's happening in there.
Uh-huh. So do I.
How wonderful that you should even have noticed me. I used to see you every day on my way to the university. And I always wanted to stop and speak to you, but I never had the courage.
Oh, I used to wish that you would.
Did you?
As a matter of fact, I used to go down that road specially.
No.
Because I knew that that's where you lived.
Really? But how wonderful. And to think that you've been here in Vienna for over a year and we've never met till now.
And to think that you are a poet, just like I used to think you might be, and write plays for some of the most famous actresses in Vienna.
Well, they don't always seem to appreciate them. Still, with you to help me, I know my plays will succeed. Darling.
Darling. Darling.
I noticed there aren't any more screams.
No.
They seem to be perfectly satisfied with each other. Well, hello. What's the matter now?
I just remembered something else. Do you know where it was that you and I first got to know each other all those years ago?
No. As a matter of fact, I've been trying to remember. Was it in Love's Other Name? Mm-mm. No, it wasn't that. No. No? Wait a minute. It's gone.
You wicked old rascal. I oughtn't to tell you, but... It was in that awful place. You know, our young friends in there.
No, no. Not Brince.
Yes, Brince. Well, don't you remember? We were out with a Doll's House and Rosner's Home. And I caught cold in that fiendishly drafty old theatre. Just at the wrong moment, of course. And I got so feverish, I couldn't even remember my lines. And you had to prompt me all through the second act. And I absolutely hated you for it. They wouldn't let you come near me. I was...
But yes, of course, it was. In Rosmer's Home.
Yes. And then you went and mixed some terribly strong hot punch and said it would kill or cure me. And it nearly did.
You're right, my dear. And you couldn't go on until I'd given you 5 cups of black coffee. No. And old Dongerheim was positively dancing with rage because you were so terribly pickled.
Oh, yes, and so were you. Oh. Well, before you finished the bowl, worse than I was. And old Dongerheim... stormed at us and swore he'd have us out of the company.
And I'd taken that old green cloak of his. You remember?
Oh, yes, of course. And the fur hat he always wore in the winter. Do you remember the fur hat, darling?
Oh, could I ever forget it? No, Vienna was wonderful in those days. The world waltzing to Johann Strauss. Nothing so blue as the Danube. And yet, for romance, for gaiety, and for life, all that we remember of love, give me Brince. This is Ralph Richardson again. This week... in our play, taken from J.B. Priestley's one-act comedy, Private Rooms, the cast included Griselda Harvey as Julia, Billy Whitelaw as Elsa, Robert Rietti as Florian, and Keith Pyatt as the waiter. I should like to thank them, and I look forward to the pleasure of your company next week when I shall introduce another.